honor and just a privilege for me to be able to come before, you know, the brothers and sisters here and share what amazing things God has done. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Is sharing what a great and awesome Savior that we have, and that He truly is working in our hearts and wants to work in the hearts of people around us through you and me. And that's what I'm here to do tonight, just share with you, just bear witness of what Jesus Christ has done in a work. And that, you know, He's still working today. You know, just like Jesus said, my Father is working even to today. And likewise, our Lord Jesus and our Father God is still working today, and especially in the hearts of people that worship Him and seek Him, but also through them to reach out to so many others. And before we get started with our slideshow, I just want to share a few thoughts about why I'm here. And of course, that is to share about this mission trip that my wife and I, my beautiful wife Alma, would you please stand? I don't know if many of you know, just to introduce Alma. And also Dr. John Sawyer, if you would stand, who joined us and part of this team. Just stand so just a moment. Thank you. And there's others, of course, part of the team, and hopefully through, as we go through the presentation, you'll get to know them hopefully a little bit, as we did, of course, maybe not as closely, but maybe get a little insight into just the love of Jesus that these doctors, nurses, this medical team has for the lost. Not only to treat their medical conditions, but to treat the medical or spiritual condition of their heart. First, back probably in February sometime, Pastor Scott mentioned to me that there was a doctor in the fellowship who had mentioned if there was anybody who spoke Spanish or was bilingual, could interpret, because they had a medical team that would be going down to Valladolid, which is about 2 hours. First, let me tell you where it is. It's in Mexico, right? But Valladolid is a city kind of in the central part of northern Yucatan, the state of Yucatan, and 2 hours probably inland from Cancun. Whenever you mention, where are you going? You know, oh, we're going to on a mission trip. Oh, yeah, where? Well, we land in Cancun. Right away, somebody thinks, oh, yeah, that sounds like spring break to me. And I bet you there was many spring breakers at that time. It was just that time of the year that we did go. But it would be quickly to get on a bus to go inland to Valladolid, if anybody of you know where that little city is of about 75,000 inhabitants. And we were able to be part of this mission team just really through seeking the Lord, through prayer, not even knowing what this was all about. Eventually, we got to talking to Dr. Herb Bastow and his wife, Susie, who attended our fellowship here for a short time. They'll be back next year, and maybe you can get some more information from them and how their experience went also. But they were a part of a team known as IMA-Missions, and it's known as international. And maybe you can put the first slide up just so that we get, yeah, there's more information there if you would be interested. But International Medical Assistance Missions, and that's what it is. They have teams going out throughout the year to parts of Mexico to minister to the Maya, you know, Indian or indigenous people, probably better said. And these Maya people are probably the poorest. Many of them are the poorest of the poor. That's who this team went to minister to. And isn't that who he came to seek and, you know, find the lost, of course, the poor, the lame, the maimed, blind. And so the poorest of the poor, but not only that, these people are kind of like outcasts in the society there. And unless they're, you know, the condition that they're in is a medical condition, is short of life-threatening, then they don't attend to them. Somebody may have stones in their bladder or gallbladder, and if they're not treated, then they go to get treated, but it's past the stage where they can be treated. There's nothing they can do for them. And so situations, circumstances for a lot of these people are just very close to life-threatening conditions. And so we were invited. We prayed. We sought the Lord, not sure what this was all about. We're excited about the thought. And So to make a long story short, Alma and I prayed over the following 2 weeks, looking at just to see what the Lord would want us to do. And we were excited about the whole idea. And one night we prayed. We even talked with Pastor Bo, just looking at situations, circumstances. They don't look good, you know. And, you know, we don't always have to wait for all the circumstances to be a green light, okay? We need to hear from the Lord. And as we're praying, as we're seeking Him, seeking Him in His Word, He will speak to us through the Holy Spirit and through His Word. And so as we prayed this one night, we really had to make a decision, because if we were going to get on these flights out to from Tucson to Houston to Valladolid or Cancun first and then drive out to Valladolid, we needed to make a decision that following morning. So we prayed pretty much all night, and then not all night, but, you know, we got some sleep, of course, but prayed often. And in the morning, we spent our time in the Lord, you know, just praying, seeking Him. And we both got the same response, different scriptures. One for Alma was in Luke 14, 26. If you have a Bible, you can follow along or just kind of listen. And in Luke 14, specifically here. First let me back up to verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him. This is Luke 14, 25. It says, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So, to give you a little bit of a context for that in our situation back, before March 8th when we went on this trip, and even earlier, is my son was coming home from Abilene, Texas during that week that we were going to be gone. My daughter, who's learning to drive, she's still a teenager, but she's learning to drive and didn't quite have her license yet. So I'm thinking, how is she going to get around? Anyway, a number of things happened, and right before this, the trip out, even my car broke down. So a number of things that would kind of throw an obstacle in our way, maybe to say, well, you know, this is just too much going on here. Maybe it's not right timing. But as we sought the Lord, these scriptures came, and we just sensed the Holy Spirit give us the peace. And for me, it was in Hebrews, actually, both Hebrews 11:6, where he says, you know, he who comes to, or without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then looking in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, you know, it talks about the centurion, right, who had a sick servant. Anyway, after he sent a servant to Jesus saying, I'm not worthy for you to come under my house. But yet, he says, you just give the word and it'll be done. Then Jesus commends that centurion says, I've never seen any greater faith in all of Israel than this. And then some other stories or passages I could share with you, but it was all speaking also to me that I needed to step out in faith, just like my wife Alma. You know, my wife, some of you know, she has a seizure disorder. You know, so we're thinking, or she's thinking, maybe, I won't be able to function down there. Maybe the stress or this or that. You know, just all the excuses start flowing, right? Could be from our own deceitful heart, weak heart, or from the enemy. Doesn't want us to go on this trip to minister to these folks. And so we took that step of faith. The Lord really, as we took that step of faith, then everything began to fall into place. We got the reservations, we're able to make them. And so we go with this medical team to meet this team, all things. Oh, there's so many details that have to go into place. But I truly must say that the Lord worked amazingly in putting this together, not only from my words and from us seeing this, but also from Dr. Herb Bastow. And really the rest of the team would agree that it was the Lord put this team together, because it's people coming from various locations in the United States. It's not just all from, you know, Calvary Christian Fellowship here. There was a few folks that I got to meet from Calvary Chapel. I think it was Mount Pleasant, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Roger and Celeste, one of the nurses, his wife. And so, but there were others from Missouri, from Connecticut, from Maryland, uh, and, and maybe John will help me remember if I forget a few there. But and so it was really God putting this whole work together. You know, it reminds me of Ecclesiastes 3:11, right? You know, God makes all things beautiful in their time. It just reminded me of that scripture. But we must be willing to wait on Him. We must be willing to trust Him and seek Him. You know, the Lord is near to those who call upon Him, those who call upon Him in truth. And I pray, I hope that this will be an encouragement to you, an exhortation to you. As I was hearing Dr. Cheryl Stanley this morning, he was talking about, you know, taking the gospel out to, you know, everywhere, to preach to all nations, right, to all creatures. And he said that sometimes we here in the United States, we have this this kind of a miniature country club feeling where everything is, you know, given to us, we're encouraged, we're lifted up, and certainly we can receive that, you know. But this really is also a hospital for the lame, for the maimed, for the blind, for those who are just struggling with whatever situation. And so may this be an encouragement to you to seek the Lord in what area of service He would have you to participate in the body of Christ and what gifts He's given you. And also, let me just add one more scripture, and then I'd like to go on to maybe the slide presentation here. And this is in Philippians chapter 4. Just reminded me so much of what Paul said to the Philippians, and I believe it is in chapter 4, verse 18. He says in verse 18, "Indeed, I have all and abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent to you." And I want to focus on this because I really believe that this was, I think it pertains to the body of Christ here at Calvary Christian Fellowship. He says, "A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God." And it was here that Calvary Christian Fellowship, this body of believers here, this small part of the greater body and the Church of Jesus Christ, that really truly sent us out, we believe, and trust. And not only through prayers and all the support that was given to us, and I just saw the Lord work through that. That's what made it happen. The Lord and you, your hearts, allowing God to move and work through you. Sometimes, you know, as we see, some are those that go. And oftentimes there are those who can't go for whatever reasons, but are senders. Send the ones that do go. And that's kind of what we feel like. Maybe we were the ones to go this time. And you were the senders and the supporters. And God moving, the Lord moving through the Holy Spirit through all this. So before I go any further, can we just bow our hearts in a moment of prayer just to commit the rest of this time and that I can present this to you in a way that the Lord wants us to. Let's bow our hearts. Father, I just thank you for this just beautiful opportunity that you gave us, Lord, to just be used of you and to be co-laborers, Lord, in seeing your hand work through us, in us, and through us, and touching the hearts of these people, Lord, who have been rejected and just considered second and third class citizens, and maybe not even that at times, Father, and that still goes on. Not only here in the United States, probably in some ways, many ways, but even so down in Mexico, and I'm sure in so many other countries. But Father, you're the one who came to seek and save that which was lost, Lord. And truly, all are lost, Lord, and separated from you and your glory. But yet for the love and the mercy and the grace that is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord, can we do anything, Lord, and be anything? And so we want to give you the honor, the praise, the glory. And, Lord, just open our eyes. Just to prick our hearts, Lord, in whatever way you need to speak to us, to transform us, to change us, Lord. Change our hearts. Change our minds about just how we perceive the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation, Lord. And that is such a treasure and such a precious thing that we have and is living in us. And Lord, and we're to share that. So, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and move us and exhort us to do and serve you in whichever way you would have us, Lord. So it's in Jesus Christ's name that we do pray these things. Amen. So we have our first slide here. And of course, you know where Tucson is, if you know anything about maps, and then flying all the way to Houston, and then down to the Yucatan, landing in Cancun, which shows on our next slide. And here's that peninsula. And Valladolid, I don't have a pointer, but if you look kind of toward the center of the northern part of this peninsula, you see Valladolid. And this is where we went. It's interesting that this ministry, this team, actually went out to that city and that there is an actual hospital being built by what is known as the Fundación Médica San Lucas, or the Medical Foundation, or St. Luke Medical Foundation, which is connected, working with IMA, okay? And there's a lot more, probably, information I could give you about that, but just so that you know that there is a relationship there and working together. And the way that this foundation in Mexico got started was by the name of Dr. Roberto Rodriguez, okay? His son, which you'll see in some of the slides here, was sharing with us. You know, he's not able to join us on that particular team visit, but he, 40 years ago, got this vision from the Lord to reach out to these Maya people, and that they were being just rejected, not being treated. And years before, okay, his son, Ricardo Rodriguez, which was with us and really served and ministered. You talk about a servant's heart. Did that completely to us in preparing food, whatever needs the medical team had. He was there, and truly a servant's heart. He was relating to us how his this man probably 55, maybe more years prior, had been going from town to town. Hope I didn't lose a lot of you. Me shifting gears here, I'm probably talking about a lot of different stories. But this Ricardo, okay, the son of this doctor who got this vision to minister, you know, medically to the Maya people, but also spiritually and share the gospel with them. But Ricardo, his son, was sharing with us that this 55 or so years ago prior, there was a gentleman who was going from town to town in I'm not sure if it was the Yucatan or maybe Chiapas, one of the states next over, was sharing the gospel with various villages and towns. He was taking Bibles and giving them out. Anyway, on his journey one day, he was confronted by a group of people. And what they did is they took the Bibles and they tore them and shred them to pieces and threw them, scattered them around the area there. And secondly, they beat him, hoping to kill him, right? And so what happens later, the officials come around and they see blood, right? They follow this trail of blood, and there it is. This man is laying there, almost dead. They pick him up. Next thing they do, they put him in jail for 2 months. And so after 2 months, or during that time, the officials that took him in and put him in jail said, the reason we kept you here for 2 months is because if we would have let you out, they would have killed you. So this man then relates to his son how what he should be doing as far as a career, or you know what a father does and speaks to a 10-year-old son. You know, some of us have that kind of conversation. I never had that with my father, but I have had that with my son. And nonetheless, he's talking with his 10-year-old son, right? And his son wants to be a doctor, but he also maybe wants to be a preacher at 10 years old. And his father tells him, this father who was beaten, who was in jail, right, and sharing the gospel out there, he tells his son that, you know what, you can be a doctor and you can be a preacher too. You can do both. So what Ricardo then relates, okay, this gentleman that was down here meeting with this team that went, he says, that 10-year-old boy was my father, or is my father, who God gave him a vision to minister to the Maya people. And his grandfather is the one who was beaten by this group of those, of course, that are against, you know, hearing the gospel, sharing the Lord Jesus. And so, make a long story short here, he is there catching, also seeing his father's vision, and I think a number of other people have seen this vision as well to reach the Maya people. So he shares and communicates that, and that's what this is all about, is to reach these folks. And so we'll go to the next. We land in Cancun, right? And there, we don't know where we're going. We're just kind of going step by step. But anyway, right outside the airport, we meet the first group of the medical team. It's kind of getting formed, you know, put together. And I think it was Dr. Eliazar Zuniga who we'll meet. He's a doctor urologist down in Mexico. I think he asked me, or somebody, I can't remember who asked me, maybe he did, was this all that you expected? And I said, you know, I was just going by what the Lord told me to do, and that is to go. And I had some idea from what was told me, but, you know, sometimes that's all we get. You know, God will sometimes just give you enough to just take that first step, okay? He'll give you a few details, but he doesn't always give you the full picture. And that comes in time. After you've taken that step, then he gives you a little bit more. So we have, I believe it was five, including Dr. Zuniga, six urologists. And we had, I believe, five nurses, and the two logistics people, three interpreters. It's myself, my wife, and then Jose, which you'll see. Next slide tells us a little bit more. Here now we see Dr. Zuniga. You see that smile? You talk about humor and just the joy of the Lord. And this is epitomizing that, you know, with that smile. And I always would put a smile on the patient's face. Anybody who's sad or not feeling well, he'd go in there either, you know, some kind of humor, or he'd come to their side, right? And then here, the young man here is, he's at West Point and on loan over to Annapolis. But a 20-year-old young man was looking for an international medical team mission. That's what he's thinking, praying about doing. Anyway, he joins us, and then Nurse Chalet here. And here's our bus that's going to take us 2 hours into Valladolid. Next slide will show us just our first meeting as we arrive in Valladolid, waiting for all team members, of course. We got together. We met there. And here is Dr. Herb Bastow, of course, Dr. John Sawyer here. And I can only remember their first names, Dr. Roger, and then urologist, and, of course, to the right there, Dr. David Potas. He's a anesthesiologist. We had two anesthesiologists and nurse RN Susan. Okay, next slide. So that night, we kind of got a rundown as to what was going to take place, when we needed to meet in the morning, and then we needed to move out, right? So here we are, at least part of the group, moving out, going through the streets of Valladolid, on our way about 7 blocks to this dining hall. And this is where we go to the next slide. They're actually walking there. I thought it was a pretty good picture myself. But anyway, here they are. And one thing about in Mexico, they don't allow medical personnel to wear their scrubs outside the hospital. So they had to have some kind of clothing, as you can see, maybe a warm-up outfit or just covering. That's their custom down there. And so we wanted to be respectful of those cultural customs and political customs. Okay, next. And here we finally meet up with the rest of the team who had already walked ahead. And we'll go to the next slide. And as we're going on our way to the dining hall, here is, I think, the second oldest Roman Catholic church in the Americas. As you can see, it's San Bernardino de Siena. Anyway, if we'll go to the next slide, it tells you a little story about how that church came to be built. And obviously, it tells you a little bit more about the history. Back in, I think, in the 1500s, there was a pyramid next to that church. They used that church, the stones, the materials from that pyramid, to build the church and the rest of the city at that time. So if you know a little bit about that history in that area, there was some revolts and, you know, back and forth fighting You can imagine, you know, kind of struggles that were there. But I'll go to the next slide. As we now arrive at the dining hall, we have devotionals. It wasn't just, okay, let's go, you know, work. Let's put our hand to the plow. But, you know, we sought the Lord first and bring, you know, our day and our lives and everything, the patience before the Lord in prayer and, of course, in praise and worshiping our Lord. And as you can see here, the rest of the team is gathered. And from there, then we went to our next slide, which shows our dining hall. And we were fed well. That's one thing is whenever I've been part of any missions team or work, as far as, you know, being sent out by at least the Calvaries that where I've been part of, we have been fed well. And I'm thankful for that. Delicious food, yes. You know, and I mean, that doesn't always happen when we go out and do a work. But, you know, the Lord will provide. And that's a promise, that's for sure. But it'll be important why we're fed so well, I'll tell you. Next slide shows here, we're on our way, our first day. And our first day was a Sunday, right? And here we are, just to the left, you'll see, in just a moment, there'll be a big truck with all these supplies and equipment. But here is just outside the hospital on a Sunday, and you don't see many people there. But as the week went on Monday, Tuesday, this place was, you can hardly get in and out, okay? Especially when they know, oh yeah, is there a medical team coming? Oh, which medical team are you with? Are you with ophthalmologists? Are you with dermatologists? Are you with this orthopedic? No, we're with the urology team, okay? Oh, okay, because word gets around quick. You know, if you're having a whatever kind of medical condition, then they'll try to get that person in to have a consultation with Dr. John Sawyer. He was the one who they would meet first to consult and then assess the situation, whether that was going to be an appropriate patient and to provide treatment. So here we are. The team is getting ready to work. And that's the next slide showing us unloading, of course, a lot of the equipment. And once you started, it was nonstop, okay, from there. As you'll see in some of our next slides, we unload the equipment. What do? You go to set up in the OR, prepare all the equipment, of course. And here you have, again, Dr. Bastow, Tina, one of our nurses, and I think Susan's on the left here, anesthesiologist, two anesthesiologists, Dr. David Potas, and then to the right is Dr. Mike Friedman. And so the next slide shows just continuing of the preparations here. And nothing that you would really compare to an OR here at UMC or one of the hospitals with up-to-date technology and AC and everything else. And some days they didn't have AC in there. And when you're in this jungle area, you know, humidity can, I mean, temperature can be up to 85, 90, and all they have is just one of these ceiling fans, okay? You get used to it fast. next slide. Here's our first patient, Chalet, and then, of course, I'm walking him over to interpret, you know, any information, questions doctors may have. That was my part, not only to interpret, my wife as well, another gentleman, Jose, to interpret, but also to pray with the patients. And, you know, every one of our doctors, with the exception of maybe one, all, prayed, you know, for our patients. We prayed with them. Of course, besides asking the typical medical questions that a doctor would ask and make sure that everything is according to plan and so on and so forth, and we're answering all the patients' questions or concerns, then we pray. And not only did we pray, before we took Lorenzo here, this patient, believer in the Lord, we got to know that there was already some Christians that were coming from the Maya people. And we would pray with them and agree in prayer, but there were some that weren't. They were at least just professing knowing the Lord, but not truly born-again believers. But we had the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And it was kind of awkward, you know, here a patient who's going in for some kind of prostate surgery, possibly bladder surgery for stone removal or kidney stones. And here we are, we're sharing the gospel, right? And, you know, if you died today, where would you go? And it's like, I'm thinking, whoa, are we trying to communicate with him that, you know, this surgery might not be successful? You know, I'm thinking about this, that, you know, I said, okay, Lord, well, this is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to share the gospel, not only to share the gospel, but to continue ministering to them through the whole process, right up into the surgery itself. After the surgery, continue to minister to them. It doesn't finish there. And even after the team left, of course, 8 days later or 6, 7 days later, the ministry continues. There's a pastor we got to meet down there. I'll introduce him in just a moment to you. And how he would continue to follow up, and I'll explain that a little bit. So before we would even leave this area, what we call the pre-op, where they, you know, we would sit down with the patient and start the IV, you know, just calm them, assure them, pray with them. It was also considered the post-op. You know, sometimes you have pre-op here, then you have in another area post-op. It was the same as pre-op and post. So you have patients that are just going into surgery and patients who are already there from surgery. Maybe we'll get a feel for what that is on the next slide or two. So here is just a moment. Lorenzo is now out. Okay, he went in with a smile and he went out with or he came back with a smile. One thing interesting about Lorenzo is that he would not have any doctors touch him, perform any kind of surgery on him. But when he found out that the doctors, urologists here that were coming out were Christians, he said, okay, I'm ready. So that's a little bit of story, Lorenzo's story. And then we have Wright Jenny here who wants to be a nurse. She's 18 years old and just has heart of a servant. And, of course, Robin here. And then Susie, Dr. Bastow's wife, who kind of coordinated things, brought people in and brought them from the consultation into the pre-op, et cetera. A mighty might, you know, just power-packed little lady, wonderful lady. And then Chalet here. Just both these nurses, I tell you, they were nonstop from one patient to another. And I thought at times, man, something's got to give here. And it seemed like at sometimes it was going to, but again, we just continued in prayer. We would stop at moments, depending whatever the Lord called for, we would just stop and pray for one another or pray for those patients. Totally openness of ministry, which was so so refreshing and beautiful and awesome to experience that, because there were times that you'd be exhausted, okay? Especially as the week wore on, standing all day. Imagine standing all day. I, in my line of work, I'm sitting most of the time. But fortunately, thank God, my wife and I, we just thought of the idea. And typically, we try to exercise and so on. But we kind of stepped it up. And so I believe that Lord just prepared us for that. And even as I remember working out, we just commit that workout, that exercise to Lord and however He'd want to use it. And so truly blessed us and gave us the strength, even though there are days when we would totally be exhausted. And we'll show you some pictures on that in a little bit. And then, of course, my wife, just for a moment to take a picture with our patient or their patient. You know, next slide. Again, another patient. I forget. I think maybe this was Pablo. I don't know, honey, if you remember. But again, here they are. And these people, I'm just amazed at the humility that you see in these folks and the heart of gratitude that sometimes you don't see, even in hospitals around here. But here, again, you have the same team, I think, that we just took a picture with. But now to the right, we have here Pastor Anibal. Okay, I had to say that probably a few times over the past few weeks to get it right. But Pastor Anibal, he's got a heart for the lost. He's got a heart, a shepherd's heart to minister. And he's the one who got their names, addresses. And it wasn't like, 3450 North Commerce Drive. That's where I'm at. And, you know, apartment 1 or suite 1. It was just, over there at 33rd Street and 55th Avenue or whatever. Oh, yeah, that's where I live. Okay, no problem. Or just tell me, I live over in, Tulum. Oh, okay, I know Minister so-and-so. You know, it's kind of like everybody knows each other there, or at least they know the areas and how to get to them. So truly a servant's heart. So it was pretty much myself, Pastor Aníbal and a friend of his who also really has a heart of evangelist, and we'll show you that in just a moment if we'll go to the next. Interesting stories, and there's so many, and I'll try to just give you a brief overview here. This woman, I believe her name was, I can't remember, Maria. We'll call her for this. Her husband, okay, was in one of the hospital rooms having a severe case of diabetes, and it was just seeming to affect every organ in his body. He was really looking bad. And he was not part of this team or part of the patients that this team was going to minister to. But before one of our patients that we were, you know, he was going in for surgery, we, right outside our door of the pre-op and post-op room, same place, we gathered around him, nurses, doctors, myself, and the rest of the team that was there. We prayed for him. She got a glimpse, because at the angle that, you know, her room was in with her husband, could see what we were doing. Afterward, I came back, she pulled my shirt, and she says, "Could you pray for my husband?" And I said, "Absolutely. You know, I don't know the protocol there. You know, this is our area. Maybe I shouldn't go in there." But they see the blue scrubs, and they think, "Come here, you're a doctor," right? Often, over and over, I'd have to say, "I'm not a doctor. I'm an interpreter and minister." And said, "Okay, yeah, come pray." And so we did. I did pray. And then a couple hours later, this woman doesn't know that Alma's my wife. She goes out just feeling led of the Lord to go outside. And then Alma begins to speak with her and encourage her. This lady asks Alma if she could write a prayer, you know, that like that man inside. "What man?" And that's when I walk up and says, "Yeah, that's my husband. Yeah, like he prayed for my husband." And so it's just the Lord working. And I'm just, okay. And we find out that she's a Christian. Her husband is a Christian. And so Alma wrote this prayer, the Lord's prayer, really. But as an example, and then laid out for her, okay, what does this mean? "Our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name." That means to worship God, acknowledge him for who he is, and so on, of course. So very neat story there, how the Lord just moves and puts places, people in places, and how he makes things happen and work together, makes things beautiful in his time. Next, here we have another patient. This is Dr. Roger. Again, checking up on patients. And that's one thing I'm just amazed. You know, I know we have some medical professionals here in our fellowship, and unless you've been a patient recently, you wouldn't remember this or know this, but, you know, these doctors, you know, they were there with their patient before and after and continually, constantly ministering to them and to see how they were doing. And, of course, we were there to interpret. Next, here is Dr. Roger. This is just a little, I threw that picture in because, you know, it really speaks of and shows, exemplifies how exhausted we would be after a day's work, okay? Well, we would still go out of the town and take in some sights, but we would finally, when we fell on that bed, we were out cold, I tell you, physically exhausted. And but again, the Lord provided the strength. As we wait on the Lord, as the scripture says, you know, he shall renew our strength. That is the truth. It's just a spiritual truth, supernatural truth and strength that he would give us. And I like to sleep my 7-8 hours if I can get it. You know, feel refreshed. Ah, I feel good. I'm ready to go. Spend my prayer time or whatever in the Word. You know what? There was sometimes there may be 4 hours, 6 hours possibly. But the Lord gave us the strength. He will give us the strength in those extenuating circumstances when he's called us to do whatever he calls us to do. The next slide. Here you are with a patient just kind of being prepped, and you have Dr. Howard here. Just a big man with a very big heart, humble heart, loving heart for his patients also. And Dr. Dave Potas, an anesthesiologist, and then Tina here, nurse. And I'm not sure who was next to him, but maybe in the next slide we'll see. Here's Dr. Howard, and of course they have to do their scrubbing, right, and getting prepped for the surgeries. Next. Here we have Dr. Herb Bastow, again, feeding one of our patients. I think they took some kidney stones out of Roberto, I believe it is here. And that was not an uncommon scene where you have either a doctor or a nurse helping, you know, the patient, giving them some water, some food, or most of the time it was family. And definitely when you get family in, get them to minister to them, and we just minister to the whole family there. So not only did we share the gospel with the patients, but we shared with a number of family members. Next slide. And here you see our brother Felipe, okay? And what he has in his hand, you can't really see it, I probably should have gotten a different picture, is this little cube. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. I've shown it to some of you. You know, I'm going to take pictures of it, but basically it's called the EvangiCube, okay? And the EvangiCube that he's using here to share with this patient going into surgery has a few things here. It's got a picture of, you know, just a form of a body silhouette here. You can see it maybe closer, but it basically shows how we're separated, you know, from God because of our sin and the evil that's around us and just the wickedness of man. Romans 3:23, if you're familiar with it, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we're separated by this chasm or that sin, really, from a holy and a righteous God, which this light represents. Then I open up the cube, and some of you can see it, maybe some of you can't, but it's Jesus Christ there on the cross. He was crucified. Romans 5:8, you know, for God demonstrates his love toward us while we were yet sinners, still sinners. He died for us. Christ died for us. And I open up this portion, turn it over and say, you know, just according to the scriptures, as the scriptures say, he was buried, right? And then after 3 days, what happened? You know, and they always say, he rose. And then we turn the cube and it shows Jesus here risen, right? Now, once we get to that, let's see, what else can we do here? We open it up. He opens it up. We all used it. I learned to use it. The first time it was quite an experience. But once I got the first use out of it, sharing the scriptures along with the pictures, here's a big cross, really the bridge that brings us from darkness into the light. Okay, and it shows a small figure here. And sharing John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And the next picture shows on the bottom these flames, right, which represents hell, where one would, because of their sin, be separated from God eternally if he were to die. And on the top, you see the light, which represents God's holiness, his presence, his glory. And in the middle, you see a hand here with a wound, of course, in the hand representing Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. And then another hand here grabbing onto that hand. This is the point of decision where we would ask, where are you? If you were to die today, would you go into, the fires of hell, or would you be in glory? Would you go to heaven? And every one of them, this is being honest, brutally honest, every one of them said, oh, I'd go down here because we're all sinners. They acknowledge that. They know enough of the scriptures. Many of them are very open to hearing the word of God. We just approach them and would ask if we would be able to share the word of God with them. And they're open to it. Just like many people are here open, well, some, many are open to the scriptures, but they need to come to a decision and realize that they must make not only a profession, but it requires a commitment. We can all say we believe in Jesus. We can all say we receive Jesus. We can all say that, yeah, he died for my sins. But can we all say that, yes, I will surrender my life to you? And that was the next question. Are you willing to surrender, to Jesus Christ, your life to him? And every one of them said yes. They acknowledged their sinners. They repent. They want to turn from that sin and would receive, or I should say, surrender their life to Jesus. Then ask them, would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? Then we would do the prayer. They would receive Jesus, of course, into their heart. And then we continue ministering to them. And lastly, on the back of this, five really important things that we have to share with somebody when we share the gospel. You can share the gospel, they receive the Lord, then we leave. Is that it? No. The five things are listed here. The big red heart shows the love of God. And the way that we have a relationship with that loving God is through our prayer after we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord. And next, we must be daily in His Word to hear from Him, to grow spiritually in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the third thing here is two hands grasped together, showing fellowship, how important it is to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. Then the last is a green-shaped globe world that has a cross in the middle, which speaks to how then we are to share what Christ has done in our heart and share with them. So they understood this completely. And some of them, you know, these folks are illiterate. So the picture, but hearing the word, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, would be able to minister to them. So here, this is what he was doing. And both Felipe here and Pastor Aníbal and myself used that cube at times. And other times I would just use the scriptures and ask the questions. But next, here we have a gentleman who, Francisco, who before he went in, he was very nervous. He was somewhat fearful. And when he came out, he obviously received the Lord before he went in. But when he came out, he said, you know what, before this operation, I had another surgery. And he says, I was very fearful and I was in a lot of pain when I came out. And with this surgery, when I received Jesus, I felt peace. I felt no pain. And he was so excited about the Lord, just, you know, bearing witness of what Jesus did in his heart and his life, and even through this surgery. Okay, next slide. Another patient here. Next. Again, whenever we could get the family to minister to a patient, then that would be the best thing to do. This is Teodora and Nurse Chalet and Dr. Roger. Okay, next. And here is Alma interpreting for the nurses and doctors. And Celeste here and Susan also spoke a little bit of Spanish, so they were able to minister to them as well. This is right before the surgery. Okay. Next. And again, just a little downtime to take a picture with some of the children outside the hospital. Next. And here we are with Dr. Doug Whitmore, a urologist. Would sit down and, of course, communicate with the patient, and we would pray with the patient and then go back and do the necessary procedures. Next. Here is one of our last male patients, Pastor Aníbal, patient's wife, and Felipe, of course, and much relief after the surgery. Next. Here is Dr. Eleazar, known as Ele, short for Eleazar, and with our good friend here to the right, patient, Tránsito, which means transit. And he was the one of our first patients on Sunday, and then the next 7 days, he continued with us. And when we left, he was still there. So he was with us throughout that time. He was kind of the complainer, but respectful complainer, right? And was always either a doctor, a nurse, or myself there to minister to him. And here he is again, explaining something to the doctor. Next, please. And here we are, just Alma ministering to this woman, whose name is Gloria. And she was very nervous and fearful before she went into the surgery. Afterward, just assured her everything went well. Actually, it wasn't surgery. It was more exploratory, but confirming to her, you know, God's love and His peace toward her. Next. And here we are using the cube with this family. And people, you know, were giving their New Testaments out. Actually, we had 67 New Testaments went out. 57, I believe, 66 New Testaments, 3 in Maya, and then we had 57 decisions for Christ. Okay, that's patients, including family. And, you know, I say decisions because there's follow-up to do, and God will reveal who are His children in time, but we do the work that is important in ministering to them in the follow-up. Next. Here as a nurse, I had the privilege to share the gospel with her, and she received the Lord, more giving her the scriptures to read for herself and then answering the questions, what does it mean to you, and she received the Lord. Next. Here we are with, again, the mother, daughter, Teodora, and I forget her name, but just wonderful family in heart of gratitude. Next. Here's a night right before we went to a mayor's dinner. The mayor's wife actually invited us out to a dinner. And, you know, God has really opened the doors with the public officials to be able to go in. And if you can get their support, that just opens so many doors. And really, the Lord has done that. Next. And here is Dr. Herbastow and just some of the other team members with Ricardo, the doctor, Roberto, you know, the one who got the vision for all this, his son here, just doing some interpretation on, you know, how thankful and gracious we've all been. And, of course, we're thanking her for giving us the opportunity to serve the people of Valladolid. Next, please. And here's the team, the whole team together. I think we're only missing one person there after dinner. And, okay, next. Here, this is the site of the hospital that is being built. And by December, I understand they'll be finishing the work there so that they'll have 5 operating rooms. Everything will be pretty much state-of-the-art, hopefully, or maybe much more than equipment, supplies, et cetera. Just need team to go each time that they have surgeries and whatnot. And there's another story behind this. They're actually going to start this hospital, if you will, in Cancun. But a number of events took place. The Lord just showed them, closed the door. What now? Anyway, here's the next direction that the Lord had them. It was confirmed that this is completely theirs. It's not going to be owned by the officials, okay, who have their hand in it and so on. Next. And here, just kind of one of the last days, just finishing up with the patients and ministering to them. Next. And I walked out of this annex, and what do I see? Just it seems like in front of the hospital, in front of the meat shops, in front of the pharmacies, you have a dog. And by looks of the dog, he's pretty healthy. I don't know, maybe he throws a few the chunks out. Anyway, next. Just a little picture of the community. And, you know, families, often you'll see them writing in these little carts. I call them the Nacho Libre cart, you know. But anyway, but many are on little scooters. Next. Here, you see them with their helmets, and this is probably the pretty common mode of transportation. Some have, of course, their Nissan Sentra. They look like a Nissan Sentra anyway, plus a few other vehicles. But they also have poodles down there. Next. And the age of technology has reached even, you know, the cities. And, you know, obviously, if you go out further out from the city life, you're going to see more jungle and maybe some more traditional culture there, although there's still much of that here. Next. And here, a couple of young Maya girls in the plaza area. I'll have to take a picture. Next. Okay. And on the last day, before the part of the team left, we had an opportunity to go to, not Chichen Itza, one of the ruins, but a place called Ek Balam, which means black jaguar. And we were able to take in some of the sites, a couple-hour trip, and then come back to our camp next. And here's a picture from the top of that pyramid showing the rest of the that small village, if you will, or community. Quite impressive if you ever get the chance to go, but next. And here, of course, we have Dave and Dr. John here on the return. They're next. And here's just a picture of what they call a sinkhole or a mouth of the well. They have huge pits like this, and you could actually fit McHale Center down in some of those sinkholes, if you will. Next. And again, just a lot of families do travel on bike. Next. 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 And here we are, just finishing up. When we left the last day, just a lot of the patients or families were actually weeping, crying. You know, you build there's a bond made. You know, that bond cannot be broken. And that bond, which is our Lord Jesus Christ and the love that was just permeated throughout that hospital, okay, as far as the team that was there. And last slide. Again, this is just some more of the family. Next. So, the scripture to finish up with here, Isaiah 6:8, says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me." And along with that scripture, as I just send a letter out to a number of you, I also remembered this scripture in Romans chapter 10. And we'll finish up with this. I know I've gone a little bit over. And thank you for your patience. Just finish up with this scripture. In Romans 10:14, it says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent?" And by the grace of God, you know, we had the privilege and the honor to be sent by the Lord through, you know, Calvary Christian Fellowship, body of believers here. So we thank God. We thank the Lord for this amazing work that He did. I wish I had more time. I could probably go for another hour or two. Later we'll have another opportunity to share with another group. But it's been a joy and a pleasure, and I would certainly be happy to answer any questions afterward. I know that we've got to get going and pick up kids, whatnot. But just to encourage you, you know, to not just sit and take in. You know, God has filled you and me. He says that we are like these earthen vessels, you know, filled with this treasure. This treasure is not to be kept inside. That treasure is Jesus and the love of Jesus. And we're to share that. We're to just spill over with that love as He fills us, nourishes us. Then we can go out and share that love, share that goodness with others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your love, Lord. We thank You for everything that You are able, You are mighty and powerful to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord. And Lord, help us to just keep our eyes on You, trust in You, Lord, seek You, wait upon You, Lord, and share that love with this dead and lost and dying world. We thank You, Lord, for the work that You've accomplished. We pray that You would just continue to minister to those that came to the Lord here in there in Valladolid, Lord, and just to continue to move us to minister to those who are around us, family, friends, as well as our community, Lord, and take it not only to here to Tucson, but to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, Lord. And however way you call us, to go or to be one who sends or to supports in any way. So, Father, we do thank You for the marvelous and amazing work You've done and that You continue to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.